Come on. It is good to be here. This is our fourth week that we've been running three services, and I just want to tell you it's exciting to be part of all three. And everyone is starting to feel like each one has its own kind of flavor and own kind of feel, even though we do the same message and same worship and same most things all the way across. It's pretty fun that each little slot of time in the day seems to work for different people that become the community of that service. It's exciting to be part of the church that is growing and thriving and believing for what Jesus can do. That's what we're really, really all about here. And so if you're new here, welcome here. We want you to feel like there's space for you, like there's space for you to be part of us, not just space in the seats or in the lobby or having a coffee, but space in our hearts, space in relationships. There's space in small groups. By the way, we told you a couple weeks ago we were running with small groups. Last week we said some of our small groups were filling up and we need leaders. Since then, we've added, I think, two new leaders. Come on, yes. Which means we've made more space and we're going to continue to do that. And so let's just believe that God wants to keep multiplying and growing this church. Does anyone want to see that? I want to see that. I want to see that. So we're talking about threes a crowd. And saying because, you know, we seem to have grown, we seem to have developed just even as a church and a community, we're sort of starting to recognize that we're not just company anymore. We're not just a small little thing. We're a crowd together. And the amazing thing is, and we've been looking at how especially the author named Matthew, who wrote a book named Matthew in the Bible, talked about Jesus and how he interacted with the crowd. How did he behave? What did he do? What did he accomplish in front of them? And so you can check out all those services that we've done so far online about where things have gone. But this week I want to talk about how interesting it is that in the midst of a crowd, often we feel like we're just sort of a part of the crowd rather than an individual within it. Sometimes we start to feel like people just see a crowd rather than me as a person. People just see that I'm part of something rather than me continuing to be the very individual that I am with the gifts and the look and the feel that I have. And I remember this showed up so clearly for me a few years back. Does anyone remember when the Vancouver Canucks lost in Game 7 to the Boston Bruins? Anyone remember that at all? That's a dark stain in the history of British Columbia. You still moved to British Columbia though, hey? You still moved, so it's good. The Vancouver Canucks, those who weren't here, the Vancouver Canucks lost in Game 7, and Vancouver was already on the street. The city had put on a party for them. They were celebrating because they thought, here came the victory, the Stanley Cup is ours, and la 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 la, it was the best thing ever. And then they lost and basically burnt down their whole city. I remember seeing things at that point of like, in Iraq, people riot because the government has oppressed them and killed many, many people. You know, in Turkey, people react because the refugees are coming in so many and they're not taken care of in their lives. And so there's a riot there. In Vancouver, people riot because their team lost. Like, what? Oh, it's crazy. Anyways, so that all happened, but I remember one of the craziest things for me was that you see all this thing. I was watching it on TV. I wasn't over there, but people are like burning up cars and flipping cars and pulling down signs and smashing out windows, and you're like, what in the world is going on? People are fighting in the streets, and there's all this just absolute chaos, just absolute mayhem was going on, but I remember not too long after that, I got a chance to go to a Vancouver Canucks game. And after the game, this is what was shocking to me. After the game, they're handing out these kind of posters. And these posters have a picture of, I think there was probably like 16 faces on those posters. And those posters gave you the face and said, these people are now wanted criminals. If you know anything about them, contact us. The crowd became individuals, you know? All of a sudden now, people who thought they were mixed in just with the crowd and doing just crowd stuff, all of a sudden were called out and said, you're actually committing crimes and you're going to have to pay the penalty. The crowd isn't just your way out of this, but actually you're still an individual in the crowd. I remember hearing stories, sad stories of people, like he was the valedictorian and you know, he was such a good community member, and there he's like burning up a police car, you know? Like, just create, like, how did this happen, right? How did it happen that these good, upstanding citizens that are good individuals and take care of people and look after everyone else and you know, all of this stuff, how is it that now they're on a wanted poster that's being handed out after a Vancouver Canucks game? It's because they forgot that they were an individual in the crowd. And they just thought they were a member of the crowd, and I'm just doing what the crowd does, and I'm just recognized as a crowd and not as an individual, and I'm just running that way. And often we get confused and think that since we're in a crowd, we just must be a crowd. That I must just be a crowd now. I must not actually be a person that matters. I must just be a part of the crowd. If I'm not in this crowd, I don't matter. And when I'm in this crowd, I don't matter, because it just matters that the crowd is here. Sometimes the bigger the crowd, the more isolated we can feel standing in the midst of it. We can feel like, where do I fit? Who am I? Do I still exist as an individual? Am I still a person? Do people still recognize me as someone who matters? And I think sometimes that happens with church, and it even happens with Jesus. That we feel like Jesus doesn't see me, he sees us. He sees us as a church, and I'm part of a movement, and I'm part of lots of people trying to accomplish something. I'm part of lots of people trying to plow forward and make a difference in a community and reach people for a city. And so Jesus sees that, but we sometimes come to church and we feel like, but does anyone see me? Does anyone know what I'm facing? Sometimes we look at the church and we assume that everyone else probably has everything figured out, and me as an individual, I've got it way worse than everyone else. No one would understand. I'll just act like the crowd. I'll behave like the crowd. It looks like they all wear the nice clothes, or they all act really properly, or they all do this particular thing, or they all behave in this particular way. So I guess that must be who I am in the midst of them. And we get lost in the crowd. Our individuality goes out the window sometimes. We assume that everyone else is better than us. We assume maybe that we don't even fit in the crowd. We assume that Jesus probably doesn't see us. We assume that nobody else sees us. We assume that we're just swamped and mixed in with this big group of people. I think sometimes someone gets desperate enough to try to push through the crowd and become an individual. There's a woman in the Bible, and she kind of does this. This woman has, we're going to talk about her story in a second, but this woman has an issue. She's sick. She's been sick for 12 years. She has an issue of bleeding, it says. And she's trying to figure out how to solve this issue, this challenge, this difficulty in her life. And she's tried to figure out everything else. She's tried to go to the doctor, and she's given up all of her money. She's poured herself into trying to solve the problem that she has, and she can't solve it. She gets desperate enough that our story today that we're going to look at is of her pressing through the crowd that she never should have been in. Pressing through the crowd that no one wanted her to be part of. Pressing through the crowd that she wasn't allowed to be part of. And reaching out to touch the Jesus that she didn't think she was allowed to touch, so she could steal a healing from him. And the story goes like this in Matthew 9, 20 to 22. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. we're going to actually move into the book of Luke because Luke adds a few more details. But before we do, early on in the Bible, there's a whole bunch that's getting figured out with the Israelites. And God is setting up a whole bunch of rules and helping them live in a certain way. And there's this idea that starts to come up called ceremonial cleanliness, being ceremonially clean or ceremonially unclean. And basically, what's happening is that there's all these laws created amongst the Israelites for them to figure out how to do things safely and in a sanitary way and take care of one another as they're living in the wilderness. And so there's a whole bunch of rules that all of a sudden they start following and trying to live by. And one of them has to do with this exact idea. Leviticus 15:25 says, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has that discharge, just as in the days of her period. This woman knew that. This woman in this situation knew that. Sort of sounds uncomfortable to talk about and kind of strange to talk about, feels odd to talk about or even read that in that moment. But we need to understand what this woman was facing. The idea of what it would mean for her to try to enter a crowd, to try to touch someone. In fact, she was going to touch lots of people. She knew that ceremonially, within the law that most of these people believed, anyone who touches her becomes unclean also. So she's in this period of her life, which is 12 years, has felt alienated, has felt outcasted, has felt like no one can come near her, has felt like she's rejected and doesn't belong and doesn't fit in, and no one wants to go near her if she tells them what she's actually walking through. So she's learned how to live isolated in shame. I know that this isn't the exact same issue that many of us have, but I know many people come to church on a Sunday morning. And the only reason you're here is because you're desperate for a touch from Jesus. You're not here because you feel like you fit in. You're not here because you feel like everyone will accept you readily. In fact, you're pretty sure no one would if they knew the truth about you. You're pretty sure if they knew what you were facing or what you were going through or what you've done, maybe even what you've done this very week, maybe what you've done long ago that no one knows about, maybe the secrets that are in your closet, maybe it's you're a Christian and you've been a Christian a long time and you've started behaving in ways that Christians shouldn't behave, and you start, no one can know what's going on. Some of you just show up to church just because maybe, if I could just sort of steal some power from Jesus, if I could just sort of take something from what this cosmic being has for me. If I could maybe there's a solution for me out there. Maybe I could get the healing I need. Maybe I could get the touch I need. Maybe, just maybe, it will work out. And you come here and sitting in the crowd on a church day actually feels completely awkward for you, and you feel like you don't belong and no one gets you and no one understands you and no one can help you. But maybe, just maybe, it's worth pushing through because God has something for you. Many of us show up with that kind of desperation in our life on a Sunday morning. I want to show you what Jesus does with this woman. And the book of Luke tells it a little more fully in Luke 8:44-48. It says, she came up behind him. Oh, let me start earlier, 40-43. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler in the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to the house. So you get this powerful guy, Jairus. Jairus shows up. We talked about this not long ago. Jairus shows up and says, Jesus, come on, I need you to help me. He's this powerful guy. He's someone who the crowd sort of splits for. He's someone that the crowd kind of moves for. Oh, it's Jairus. Come on, Jairus. You need to talk to Jesus. Come on up. You know, have your second with Jesus. Kneel down before him. That's going to be awesome. Jesus, and Jairus says, I've got an issue. I've got a challenge. Can you come and help me? For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, the crowds. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. It's not that this was her first attempt. She's been living 12 years trying to become socially acceptable. She's been living 12 years trying to have friends in her life because no one wants to go near her who has any level of religiousness in their life. She's been living 12 years trying to solve the problem that has made her an alien to everyone else, has made her rejected by everyone else. She spent 12 years spending all of her money trying to solve this health issue that she can't help, that she can't change, that she can't shift, and yet she's been rejected because of it. For the last 12 years, she spent all of her money trying to solve this problem, and nothing is happening for her. And so desperate, she shows up into the crowd that she's not allowed to be in with people that would be absolutely angered that she was even touching them. They're pressing around, and she has to squeeze through the crowd and try to fit in and try to push people out of the way because she's going to get to Jesus, who everyone else is also trying to get to. And she's squeezing in and trying to get there, knowing that she's doing something she's never done in her life because she's not allowed to, based on their own law and their own rules. But she's desperate. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" I love this. I want to tell you that this week I was preparing this sermon, and once in a while, you know, me, the pastor preparing the sermons, once in a while I get pretty moved in my office as I'm just reading the Bible and thinking about this church and thinking about this community and thinking about what people need to know about our Jesus who saves and restores and loves people. And this week when I was taking my time in my office, I started getting moved at this point. Because she's healed already. She's done. She could just carry on with her day. She reaches out and she was right. If I just touch the fringe of his garment, I don't need him to talk to me. I don't need him to say anything to me. I don't need him to do anything with me. I don't need him to turn around and make a big scene of it. I don't need the sky to open up. I don't need anything. She has so much faith, even though physicians have let her down her whole life, even though no one has the answers, even though no one's able, she believes that in that moment, her physical healing can come from Jesus just by touching the fringe of his garment. And she's healed. That's amazing. You think, what a story. Hallelujah, that's great. Jesus is rushing off to Jairus' house. He's going to Mr. Important's house to go and heal someone. That's going to be a great story, Jesus. We can't wait to get there. Come on, move along. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Let's go and write your history in the Bible and in the history books. This is going to be great. I can't wait to do it. And Jesus says, stop. Someone touched me. You can imagine, like, whoops. She embarrassed. What happens in that moment? He says, "Who is it that touched me?" And when all denied it. I like that. I just like to picture this moment for a second. What did it look like all of a sudden? Jesus is like, "Someone touched me." And his disciples are sort of like, "What are you talking about?" In fact, they're about to say that to him. But I just think Jesus all of a sudden stopped it. He goes, "No, was it you? No? You? No, you didn't touch me. Was it you? No. You, no, not you, not you. You didn't do it. Did you do it? Did you touch me? Did you touch me?" You can imagine what she's feeling in that moment. He's going to get to me. He's going to get to me. And it says, when all denied it. So he would have looked at her in the eyes and said, "Did you touch me?" She said, "No, I didn't. No, 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 it wasn't me." Because she's been physically healed, but every social barrier that she hasn't been able to break through, every insecurity that she hasn't been able to discover in herself, every anxiety about feeling like the outcast in her life, every feeling of being socially removed and marginalized and alienated from all of these people, all of that, her healing, her physical healing is not enough yet to break through and allow her to feel free of all of the shame and all of the guilt and all of the dirtiness that she's felt about herself for her entire life for the last 12 years. She's not yet free to feel like she is clean in front of these people. She's been telling herself for years that she's unclean. Now she's healed, but she doesn't feel yet like she's clean and she's able to expose it. And so Jesus himself, who has just healed her body, and she all of that faith that she mustered up to go and believe for that healing, even so, he says, "Did you touch me?" And she said, "No, I didn't." Can you even imagine that? I can't even imagine what that would be like. How deeply rooted is her feeling of being outcasted and rejected that she won't even say she's been healed by the Savior of her soul in front of this crowd? Some of us, we get in this space in our lives. Jesus touched me. That was great. I went to church and everything good happened. I felt it all and it was awesome. And I think I might become a missionary. I think I've got a new plan for my work. I think I'm going to be generous in a new way. Or I think I'm going to do that. Yeah, that's so great. I love it. But I'm just going to go do it on my own because no one really cares, because at church it's just a big crowd and it's just a lot of people and I don't want to discourage anyone. I don't want to take my time. I don't want to do that. And Jesus doesn't just stop at the miracle. He doesn't say, it's good enough that you're healed. We're moving on to the next healing. He says, who was it? And I'm not moving until you tell me. This part got me. Who is it that touched me? When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, come on, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you. He's like, everyone touched you. No one didn't touch you, Jesus. Everyone's here. The crowd is here. Look, what? Look, you don't need to worry about an individual. Look at all of us and look at all the miracles you've done. Look at all the great things you've done. Don't worry about one person touching you, Jesus. Let's just focus on the bigger picture here. It's more important that you go to Jairus' house and this whole crowd is taken care of again. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceived that power has gone out from me. Here's what hit me this week. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she wanted to hide. She just wanted to get her healing and go because she thought no one else would care to hear about it. She thought no one else wanted to be a part of that with her. Though she was healed, she was still rejected in her mind. Though she was restored, she was still unclean in her mind. Though her body had been taken care of, she still thought she didn't fit socially in her mind. How many of us have these amazing experiences with Jesus, and we have these moments in worship and feel like, God, you've changed me, you shaped me, you've even healed me. Some of us have experienced physical healings, and yet when we get in a crowd, we feel like no one cares about me. We get in a group and we feel like I'm not good enough. I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to give. I'm ashamed of who I am. I'm kind of broke. Yeah, Jesus does some private work in my life, but I don't know if I really fit here. I'm still probably not very good to fit in with this crowd because none of them sin and I sin really bad, and none of them do this and I do this really bad, or they all think this way and I think this way, and I probably just don't fit. And though I've had great experiences with Jesus and he's changed my life and he's rocked me and he's healed me, I can't tell anyone because no one likes me. And this is where she's standing, and Jesus says, it's not that I just want to bring you into your healing, I want to bring you out of your hiding. Because you're hiding from me because you're ashamed. And I'm calling you out because I'm not ashamed of you. Woman, who's been rejected for 12 years, I now want to make a spectacle of how much I love you in front of this whole crowd. I want everyone to see how much you're cared for, how much you're loved, how much I will pull you in. There's someone waiting and they're on death's door and I need to go heal them. And this entire crowd is saying, let's go do it. And I'm saying, this is all about you right now. It doesn't matter that you're healed. I am going to pull you out of hiding and help you know that it's not just about your physical healing, but your emotional well-being and your mental state. And I'm saying, you are valued. Stop hiding. Stop tucking everything away. Stop believing that you're not worth it. Stop believing that you're not good enough. Stop believing that I only want to touch your physical body. I want to call you into fullness because I'm Jesus. So he stops everyone and says, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. Worship team, you can come on up. She came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Can you imagine the moment? She's afraid. She's used to being afraid. She's used to being rejected in these moments. Well, sir, I've had this problem for a long time. I've lost all my money, and I'm really sorry that I did it, sort of, but I do feel better. I have gotten better, but I'm sorry that I touched all of you, and I'm sorry that I'm unclean, and I shouldn't be here. I should have never been here, and I am healed, but don't worry. I'll go back and live my healed life on my own, and I won't touch anybody again. I won't come near you again. I'll leave you all alone because I'm just sorry. Can you forgive me for stealing the healing from you? Can you forgive me for taking that thing from you? Can you forgive me for doing that? This is why I did it. And I mean, good job. You did save me and you did heal me, but I didn't mean to. Well, I sort of meant to, but I'm sorry, and I'll just go home now. Some of us approach Jesus that way. We've learned to. Like, Jesus is probably some mad guy. And anything good that comes from him, he probably didn't mean to give to us because he doesn't know how bad we are. Jesus, I actually didn't read my Bible. You probably shouldn't have done that for me. But don't worry, I'll read my Bible in coming back to. I will do that from now on. Or Jesus, I kind of feel like you have accomplished something really big in my life, but I didn't pray that hard for it. I wasn't that holy for it. In fact, I kind of looked at some images this week that I shouldn't have looked at. I called someone something that I shouldn't have called them. I thought thoughts that I shouldn't have thought. I did all those things. So I see now that you've done something good in my life, but I didn't deserve it. And so I'm sorry. I'll try to get back to the place where I'm worthy of what you've just done for me. So I'm sorry. I'll get out of the crowd. I'll leave this alone and I'll go and sort myself out. Don't worry. I can't believe I did that. She starts by denying, and then she comes trembling to Jesus after he's just healed her as if he didn't want to. Can you imagine receiving a healing and be like, oh shoot, Jesus, I just tricked Jesus. This is awkward. I can't believe he fell for that. I got to get out of here. I got to run away. Come on, Jesus looks at her. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. You believed rightly that I do have the power to restore you and heal you. And then he says, go in peace. What's peace mean for her? Go not holding on to your shame anymore. Go being free of what you've only known for the last 12 years. Walk through this crowd boldly. Give them high fives on the way out. And if they won't give you a high five, give them one to their face on the way out. Go walk in courage out of here, lady. You've been walking 12 years ashamed. The greatest thing I can do for you isn't solve your physical healing. It's to release you into the freedom of knowing peace in your life, that you're not rejected, that you're not, I'm not ashamed of you, that you can walk in boldness, that you can stand tall, that you're loved, that you're cherished, that you're made with a perfection that no one else has, that you're absolutely desired, and I love you, and I believe in you, and I'm calling you out. Stop hiding. Stop hiding from me. And some of us are in this crowd today at church, and we're hiding from Jesus, and we're doing the exact same thing. Jesus, you know, I kind of need this healing. I kind of don't really deserve it. I'm not sure if I should have it or not, but whoop, I took it. Like, I got it from you. And Jesus said, whoa, stop it. Don't just take that from me. Let me give you more. You took a little bit from me. I'm not offended that you stole a healing from me. I just don't want you to think that that's all you get from me. You get so much more. I'm Jesus. I'm your Savior, and I love you. Yeah, but I was unclean. Yes, you were, but never in my eyes. But I couldn't touch people. I would have touched you. In fact, I did. Yeah, but I couldn't go near people. People had to stay away from me. I didn't stay away from you. In fact, when you touched me and I could have rejected you, I said, have your healing and come out of hiding and show these people who you are. When Jesus comes to town, people don't just get healed. They get to know their fullness in him. Jesus set this woman free to walk in peace. Yeah, but what about the crowd? What did they think? Who cares about what the crowd thought? Peter's like, come on. Whoever touched you, don't worry. Just let's go. Jesus said, no. There's more work to be done here. Look, I just feel like today there's people here that have been hiding from Jesus. Maybe you've experienced some good things in your life and you feel like it's good, but you're still ashamed of a few things and you still feel unclean. You feel like you don't fit in and the crowd is around and you've come and you've reached out and you've touched, but then you've backed off and Jesus is saying to you, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. I didn't just come to heal, I came to reveal. I didn't just come to bring you into healing. I came to bring you out of hiding so that you can know you're a child of God. You're loved by me. You're valued by me. Not just healed and then isolated. Healed and then in community. Not just healed and then still feeling ashamed. Healed and knowing boldness and courage in Jesus' name. He's got something for you. So today, I think some of you need to receive that. Some of you need to come out of hiding. You need to come out of hiding and recognize that the story you have of being healed and being set free, the crowd got that whole story because Jesus said, come out of hiding, lady. You're loved. You're loved. So would you just close your eyes for a moment? The first step in this is often revealing yourself to Jesus. Saying, Jesus, I need you to see. I am trying to hide from you. I am kind of trying to look for my own personal touch, and then I'm still going to be ashamed and feel like I don't fit and feel like no one cares about me and no one loves me. Jesus says, you come on out of hiding because you're a child of God, and I love you, and I made you, and I believe in you, and I want to see you thrive, and I value you until the very day you die, and I bring you home to me, and we get to walk in eternity together. You have been created for a relationship with God, and he wants to offer it to you, but he says relationship can't hide from one another. And so if today you say, that's me and I've been hiding, would you confess it to Jesus and confess it to me by just raising your hand now? Because I'd love to pray for you. God bless you and God bless you. And you and you and you and you. God bless you and you and you. God bless you. Is there anyone in the balcony that says, that's me? That's me. I'm hiding. I'm hiding from him. God bless you in the back and there. God bless you and you. That's me, I've been hiding. I need him. God bless you. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Holy Spirit, just grab hold of these hearts. Oh, Lord, would you release them? Release them not just to their healing, but from their hiding. God, I pray that they would come out of that hiding place. The place where they feel locked in their shame and their guilt and their brokenness. They maybe see what you've done, but they're still realizing or thinking that they don't fit or that they're not good enough or that everyone else is better or that the crowd doesn't need them to be an individual or the crowd doesn't need them to stand strong. But Lord, I pray that today they would know that they are clean in Jesus' name, that you came to heal and you came to set them free. You came to heal their bodies and you came to say, walk in boldness in me. So Lord, release them to walk in you. Let them know the joy of standing in your peace. Jesus, I pray that today you would do more than bring us into our healing, but you'd bring us out of our hiding, that we'd know the fullness of Jesus Christ that you want to give to us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't just leave us healed and ashamed. But Lord, you say, come and be restored in my name. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We love you. We believe in what you're doing here today, Jesus. And Lord, for those who raise their hand, I just pray for a commitment level today to say, I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to walk for this. I'm going to start practicing walking in the recognition that I'm good enough in Jesus' name. God, we love you. Thank you for the work that you're doing today. And in Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, if you want to get connected with us or something happened big in your heart today, you want to chat with the pastor, in front of you there's a connect card. We'd love for you to fill it out with whatever appropriate information you want to give to us. Get it to the info center or bring it up to a pastor at the front. We'll follow up with you this week. For the rest of you, go walk in the boldness that you're a child of God, that Jesus doesn't just leave you healed and ashamed, but he walks you into the fullness of peace with him. Go in God's name. We love you.